Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 5 of Everything Coworking. I have to admit, this has been one of my favorite interviews to date. It's with Troy Evans, who is in Syracuse, New York, which is the closest city to my hometown, which is tiny, tiny little Cincinnati, New York, about an hour south of Syracuse. So Troy is doing something really interesting in the co-working space, which I'll talk about in a second. He started out in residential real estate, and then he joined Syracuse Co-Works, which is the co-working space in Syracuse. He refers to it as life-changing. The connections he made were really mind-blowing and inspirational, and it is how he decided to buy a building and develop it into a live workspace called Common Space. So Common Space is community living, and Syracuse Co-Works is co-located in the building. He's doing some really interesting things in sort of the community living area, so I can't wait for you to hear his story. So here he is. We reference his website and some other things you'll want to check out on the show notes, and those can be found at www.everythingcoworking.com/5. Troy, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to hear your story. I think a lot of people are going to be really interested to hear your story because you're doing something a little bit unique. So I come from the world of being a co-working space operator, and you're a developer who's been in a co-working space and now is doing a community living space. So we want to hear all about your story. First, can you tell us a little bit about you both professionally and personally, so we can get to know you a little bit?
Sure, I can do that. And thanks again for having me. This is awesome. Anytime I can talk about this thing, it makes me super excited. So where do I start? A little bit about me. So I'm a chronic case of I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So I'm 36 now and still don't know. But I started out as a computer engineer, went to Syracuse University, went and worked for, you know, the big corporate machine for a while, and never really sat well with me. So I kind of immediately morphed into a change management role, they call it, at these corporations. So I became more of like a business psychologist. So really started to study sociology, psychology, and how to introduce change in organizations. And, that kind of morphed into that in 2003. That was still part of the big corporate machine. And so I somehow got turned on to real estate. So I went from computer engineer, change management, and then real estate, super interested in like the course of like 2 years. But I got into real estate. This was 2003, and started flipping houses, things like that, and developing apartment buildings, and all in the local Syracuse area. And basically, like 3 years ago, I kind of got burnt out from all of it. I was working full time still, or half part time, sorry, at a local company, doing real estate on the side, and decided I was just going to take off leave and go figure out what I wanted to do. So that process for me was basically I started work from home, you know, a week after I quit, and instantly knew I was missing something. I had no social interaction. I was talking to my dog. I just had a daughter, so she was like a month old, screaming in the background, and was not getting anything done. So luckily, there was a young group in Syracuse. They're called 40 Below. It's like a kind of a local group for young people to get together and do cool things, basically. And they had started a co-working space out of one of our government buildings. And this thing was horribly ugly. It was like a cafeteria. It was like 800 square feet, but it was awesome. It was like so cool. I went there. There was 12 people in it at the time, and all from different diverse backgrounds. And, you know, I walked in and like hit it off with like, you know, 3 or 4 of them, and was like instantly a part of this community. And so this was just 3 years ago. And my life in those past 3 years has changed. I can't even tell you drastically because of these 12 people I met. These 12 people introduced me to probably, you know, through the tree of connections, probably like 200 people over the last 2 years. Like everybody from the, you know, the most successful developers in Syracuse to, you know, the mayor to, like, it's just weird how one person can introduce you to one person who 10 introductions later will get you to some connection that you could have never planned out or dreamed of in your wildest imagination. So as I was going through this for myself, I was I try to live in the moment as much as possible, but I was observing it as I was going through it. And I was seeing how much it was doing for me. And I kind of almost instantly knew that I wanted to help, you know, get this thing to the next level and help make these connections for other people. You know, when I was at my corporate job, I kind of had my head down. You know, I think this happens to a lot of people. Your head down, you're working for the man, and you don't spend any time making connections. And the thought of making connections sounded nauseating to me when I was working there. You know, like, oh, that's a lot of work, and I'm kind of an introvert. But when I realized what can actually happen now, you know, because of that, you know, it changed my life dramatically. So anyway, I kind of got, you know, re-energized around real estate. I had a skill set in that area, and then I had a weird skill set area in like sociology and psychology, and then I had a love for Syracuse and the local area. So it's kind of this new project, which I guess I haven't talked about yet, but it's kind of combining all those passions for me into one effort. So that's my story so far.
Yeah. So I love it. It's interesting because as the co-working industry evolves, people talk a lot about trends and a lot of sort of really, like micro factors of co-working spaces. Like, how do you design them for optimal environment? And I'm interviewing someone later today talking about the privacy crisis. And, you know, like you said, you're kind of an introvert. How do you fit into a co-working space? But I just love to hear your story saying, like, the place was like a cafeteria, but it didn't matter. It was still, like, the most amazing experience because of the people that were there.
Yes.
And I love hearing that for a smaller market because there's a lot of talk about, like, you know, how do co-working spaces work in smaller markets and suburban markets? And so it was just you and 12 people. And like you said, like it was still life-changing. And I know it's growing, so it's probably not 12 people anymore. But it's neat to hear that place of the story. So that's how you ended up at Syracuse Co-Works, is you were working.
Yeah, I was a member. Yeah, basically, and then a few. The other members, and you know, we constantly talked about how do we make this thing awesome-er. So that's where I got myself involved, and I bought a building like a block away in the heart of the city, and it just kind of took off from there.
So now you're doing Common Space. So Common Space was mentioned. I should mention, we talked about this before we started recording. So I grew up near Syracuse, New York, and I saw this write up about Troy and immediately, you know, wanted to meet him and hear his story. It's on the Juicy blog, gcuc.co, about, you know, what are the 2015 trends? So this one was up there. So tell us about your project.
Yeah. So as I was observing my co-work success, I said, all right, we're going to buy this building. And it's a 30,000 square foot building, 5 stories. And like a lot of small cities across America, Syracuse isn't any different. There's lots of empty office buildings, Class B. So you need unique ways to fill them. And I got a good deal on it, bought it. And, you know, so we already planned the co-works. We're going to deck out an awesome co-work space on the second floor, which is 6,000 square feet. Which is pretty big for a small Syracuse market. And then, you know, I kind of just started toying with ideas. Well, how more can I play on this connection theme? So I got this kind of green thumb for Syracuse. So how do we make this building like the go-to place for the people like me who are lost out there and just want to have a place to go? free, or whatever, but it's a landing spot for, you know, young to old to say, I want to hold an event, I want a, you know, community space, but very attractive looking space. So it's kind of the place to get connected. So as I started thinking about that, I thought that the living portion would be kind of a key to that. And in downtown Syracuse right now is actually, like a lot of cities, under a pretty huge revitalization. You know, there's a big push for young people to move back to the cities and empty nesters. And there's a lot of market rate apartments getting developed, and they've almost, you know, in Syracuse, you know, I'll throw numbers at it, it won't mean anything to San Francisco, but so right now, like a one bedroom is like $1,400 a month, which is, you know, extremely high compared to a $600 fee you'd get in the suburbs right now. So it's actually priced a lot of young people out of the city already.
Yep.
So I wanted to create a couple things. I wanted to create this connection hub, and I wanted to give young entrepreneurs a way to live in the city differently and give them a way to connect. So the common space idea, I started looking into it and diving into co-living, and there's actually one in Ithaca that they do a lot with residential houses. So there's no one that I've found except a place called Crash Pad out of Boston that's doing it in like an urban area, at least calling it this. There's, well, I'll get back to that, but there's, you know, in Ithaca they have a residential area with like a community house in the middle, and then like 10 like separate structures that are like 1,000 square foot houses, and then they have this, they're all set up in a circle, and then there's this community house in the middle. So it kind of creates this instant community for people who live there, but it's more of a suburban idea. So basically I got wind of that. I was like, oh, what if we did that in an urban way? And so the idea with common space is to, first of all, make it a kind of a thing where there's always a co-working space, a cool co-working space, and then a cool co-living space. And I could talk more about what the amenities are and stuff. If you direct me.
I think we're interested. Give us the details.
Okay. So the idea is kind of similar to the idea I stole from the co-living community, but basically setting these units up, they'll be small micro units, so like 250 to 300 square feet, but all, you know, redone with modernized things, you know, reclaimed wood floors and kind of furnished features that allow creative use of the space. So kitchenettes, a small bathroom, private bathroom, like 5x5 with just a stand-up shower, a toilet, and a sink.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so pretty tiny, but all set up in a circle. Of this building is a square, luckily, and each unit will have a huge window. So the building is kind of set up perfectly for this. The windows, the units are going to be 12 feet wide, and the windows are 10 feet wide by 7 feet tall. So basically the whole wall will be a window. And then the rest of the space will be used for the bathroom, furnished bed, and, you know, furnished desk that folds down from the wall. Things like that. So creative, a cool, unit, but then also creating them in a circle, so that then there'll be like a shared commercial kitchen in the center, shared living spaces, a shared library, shared laundry, all set up on a 6,000 square foot floor plate. And I'm doing this on two floors. So there'll be basically a kind of a, you know, this community feel that when you come involved, you see that it's set up in a way that kind of forces interaction with your neighbors instead of, you know, a normal apartment complex, you may never run into your neighbor.
Yep, unless you're getting the mail and happen to be chatty that day. And
exactly, yeah. And that's kind of what happened to me. When I did graduate SU, I went and worked for Lockheed Martin in Philadelphia. So I was from Syracuse area, moved out of Philly, and didn't know anybody. And I lived in an apartment complex out in the suburbs and never saw, like, any of my neighbors. And I was there for 3 years, and I met all my friends at work, which were great. I still am as friends, but it's really the only way you could meet anybody was through work, and it's good and bad, you know. So as I was thinking about this concept, I was like, man, I would love to live here, you know, when I was a young man. But, so it may not be set up for me now because I have a 2-year-old daughter, but, you know, it's I'd still love to live here if I could.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny is someone who has – I also have a 3-year-old. And I love sort of the whole concept of, you know, it takes a village, and we don't have any family here. So we're kind of on our own. And so childcare and all those things are always a, So I've often thought, like, wouldn't it be great, you know, if we could do, yeah, have a building and all the moms, you know, sort of make dinner and, you know, support each other and take, you know, take turns. And so I think I've always been into sort of the community concept. It's probably a little tougher yeah. with families and you need bigger space, but I think someday I bet we'll see it.
I think that's a great idea. I think there's this weird push that from, you know, our culture for this re-energizing around community. Like I grew up in a small town in the Catskill Mountains of New York. Like, you know, I graduated with like 30 people in my senior class. So it was tiny, but everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
And I never lacked community, you know, until I left there. I came to Syracuse, didn't have any family, kind of same thing. And it's kind of been this thing I've been searching for the past, you know, 12 years. I didn't even know I was looking for it. But now that I have it, it's like, wow, this is it. This is cool.
It's amazing. I mean, it also fills the sustainability trend, right? I mean, the whole kind of live, work, socialize, you know, all in one. Not that you want to be too insular, but I know in San Francisco, there's a lot of talk about how do you keep kind of everything, you know, real close by so that your footprint's a lot lower and you're walking, you're biking instead of, you know, driving around and driving to work. I mean, your folks could walk to work if they work at Syracuse Co-Works, right?
So. Exactly. And yeah, the whole micro unit lifestyle I'm attracted to now, you know, I've never wanted things, you know, so the whole idea.
Yeah, when
like,
you have a kid, minimal, things just start exploding.
Oh man, playrooms. I never had a playroom when I was a kid.
Yeah, totally. It was outside, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, exactly. But I mean, I definitely gravitate towards that, even though I admit that I don't get to live that way all the time.
Yeah. So is the common area 6,000 square feet?
There's going to be 10 units per floor. Okay. So the whole floor will be 6,000 square feet.
Okay.
Each unit is going to be like 250 to 300 square feet. And then the common space will probably be like 2,500 square feet.
Okay. Yeah. That's still sizable. I love it. I mean, we have a huge kitchen with an island in our Chicago space, and it is totally instrumental in community building because everyone gathers in the kitchen. So the mailroom, not so much. The kitchen is where it's at. So, and in the lounge library area, okay. So I'm going to move on to see what I have next on the list of questions here.
Just one more thing back on that, if we could.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the physical amenities, but I did want to talk just quick about like the processes and systems behind it, because I think that's what I am piloting and figuring out now and getting pretty close with it. But so so that's all like you walk into the space and it's set up for connectivity, but I also want to introduce like a community manager on site who will get a free room and board, but their job will be to act as like this, you know, welcoming committee. So, you know, when it'll be a fairly transient environment, you know, so people, it'll be month to month leases, people coming and going, which is kind of the idea. But this community manager will be in charge of, you know, introducing you to everybody, you know, handshake face to face on both floors. And then I'm going to try to hold weekly dinners where I give, a local chef, you know, everybody, $100 a week, basically to come in, cook for everybody on like a Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever. So to kind of create that, consistent meal to bring everybody together. And then also, you know, their job is to hold events out of there and make sure that social aspect is getting taken care of.
Yeah, that's really interesting, really unique for a living space, right? Like to your point, apartment buildings, they'll have like maybe they'll have a clubhouse, but they don't have anyone facilitating any of those interactions. So I have to assume that inspiration came from your co-working space. Did you have a community?
And we don't actually. Oh, don't. It came from, the idea that we do that, you know, naturally in our co-working space. Mm-hmm. It's no one's specific role.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, and maybe, you know, like I said, this is a pilot. Maybe the co-living part won't require that because it'll happen naturally too, but it's yet to be seen. So we'll see what happens. But the other thing that we try to do in co-working is introduce technology as much as possible. So as an icebreaker, so there's a lot of, people, in, especially in Syracuse, I don't know if you hit this so much in Chicago and New York City anymore, but no one really knows what co-working is still.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't.
Yep.
You know, the census says we have 14,000 people that work from home in the Syracuse area, and there's not 14,000 in our co-work space. Yep. So they must not know what it is, because they would love it if they did. But the, so it's kind of foreign. So we need this, way to do icebreakers. So get them in the space and then, you know, use an app or our website to say, I'm Troy, you know, I'm here. We have lots of live features that say who's in the space and stuff. And I'm interested in talking about, you know, aliens today, or religion, or real estate, or whatever it is. So try this live interest feed that says, hey, I'm kind of in the same mood. Let's talk on the sofa. But it's kind of like an icebreaker virtually.
Yeah.
And so really selling that part of co-works instead of the space. So we made a really cool space, and it's not gonna lie, it's awesome.
Good.
We didn't come up with a lot of original ideas. We copied WeWork a lot. You know, we got old reclaimed wood floors out of a barn in Iowa and glass walls. And it's just kind of a place where you hopefully walk in and you say, man, I want to sit down and work here. But that's only 10% of it, I think. You know, that's 10% of what we've done in Syracuse right now. And the other 90% is the awesome people that are here and what you're going to get out of it. So.
Yeah, I think anybody, like I was saying kind of at the beginning, I think the bar is, I think WeWork, as an example, is setting a higher bar for the amenities and the design of a co-working space. People start to just kind of expect that you're going to have a really cool environment with some, something interesting like reclaimed floors and, you know, more glass, which is expensive, we all know. But, you know, people love to be able to see what's going on. But right, even that is only 10%, because you could still have a beautiful hip room without people talking to each other if you don't do some of those things to facilitate. And I bet you'll find those things are even more important as you're growing.
Yeah.
I'll have to check in once you're not open yet. When are you slated?
We just got our CO yesterday, so we are open now. Our certificate of occupancy.
Okay.
So yeah, we're open. Yeah.
Wow. With a quick question that I didn't get to cover on the kind of overview of the project. So you bought the building. Was it zoned for live, work, retail?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The city's been super cooperative in all that. I got them involved early. It's pretty common here now that things get turned to mixed use.
Okay.
So that, you know, it wasn't residential. It was all commercial office tenants. But it's not a big deal now anymore to convert it to mixed use. But this was kind of unique in that I had to figure out the ADA requirements and the whether it would be a hotel designated as a hotel or a residential space. So I got the city involved early, and I've, through my co-work connections, have met, you know, city planners and city zoning people. And there's also a group in Syracuse called the Downtown Committee, which is it's kind of a privately funded thing. It's all about revitalizing downtown, and they've been hugely instrumental in helping me line up grants. And I actually just got a big state grant from New York that they helped me get, to finish the project as well. So there was, there's a lot of, I guess, positive help from the city right now of Syracuse. So.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a trade-off. Like you said before, this is one of the kind of questions on my list for you about demand in smaller markets, just because it's so unknown still. I mean, we even see that in, so the Bay Area, that's most people know co-working now because it's such a popular tech community thing to do. But even Chicago, I mean, it's an 8 million person city, and, you know, all the new spaces are still working really hard to get members.
Yeah.
But the trade-off of being in a smaller market is, from what I've seen and from your example, is that you have a lot of support from the local government, potentially from the state, you know, and revitalization efforts going on. We have a team in our space in Chicago who's actually building, I'm going to have to introduce you to them because they're really interesting. They're creating these like living pods that are going to be totally like constructible and deconstructible. I think they say within 2 hours.
Cool.
They're super early stage, but their idea is they could put basically what you're describing, these super micro living units, but they could drop them into anywhere and they're not permanent. But they wanted to test them in the space, and the city is just, I mean, won't even give them a, you know, the option to even test the things. So they're just running into these brick walls, and they've said they probably won't launch in Chicago because it's so challenging.
Yeah, I could see that, though. Even here, you know, New York's kind of tough with their strictness on, there's some state codes and stuff. Like, if you're breaking any of the fire codes or anything like that, we'd probably have trouble, too. But luckily, this project wasn't breaking anything like that. But what you just described might be, because there's, like, this sprinkler requirement and things like that. So I wouldn't say that we'd be around that either. But it's they are definitely willing to work with you if you get around the safety stuff, though.
So we recently hosted a webinar on co-working spaces doing joint ventures with landlords or developers.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of discussion about, you've probably seen this at Co-Works, which is that when you open a space, it takes a lot, it's expensive. You have to do a build out, buy a lot of furniture, and then, you know, you have to get members. And sometimes you can have some seed members, and then it takes some time to fill up. And so one of the sorts of trend we were talking about on the webinar about co-working operators partnering with landlords to bring spaces to the building and doing like a joint venture rev share, you know, however it may work, and landlords seeing the benefits of, you know, a really vibrant community in the space with a lot of different businesses, and there being some benefits to the landlord or developer. Are you, what's your?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can only speak for the small markets, but I think it's really key to do in cities like ours. Like for us, when we started, we toyed with the idea, all right, do we make Syracuse Co-Works a for-profit? You know, I'll buy the building and then we'll manage it and we'll make a rent, and then, you know, me as landlord will get a cut of it. Or do we want to make it a non-profit and, you know, go another route? And we actually decided to go the non-profit route because we were able to get so much community support. So there's all these local organizations that wanted to hub like this for their own like headquarters. So there's a local graphic artists group called AIGA. They needed a home headquarters. There's that 40 Below group I talked about. They needed a headquarters. There's a Center State CEO, which is like our Chamber of Commerce. There's local entrepreneur, like something we call the Tech Garden, which is, it houses like 30 startups right now, but more established companies that have multiple people. So we kind of got all these people together and said, hey, we want to take this thing next level. Would you like to all become partners, basically? So we made Co-Works a nonprofit and created a very cheap that I would, as landlord, would give them $6 a square foot for the space. I'd pay a quarter of the build out. But for me, a landlord, I loved it because you need, in Syracuse right now, you need creative ways to fill space. Like, you can't just open your doors and some big company's going to move down here, you know, like San Francisco probably is. But so for us, we need creative ways to fill it. And me as a landlord, I loved it. First of all, I wanted to sit there, so I wanted this as my space.
Right.
And then it also creates a cool image for the building. Because now it says, even if I'm not getting much rent, it's the possibilities of what will happen. So now the building's alive. It's full of cool, you know, smart, innovative people. And it's given me a storefront that popped up and got filled. And it plays well off the living, the co-living part, which will be a separate venture, just me involved and not, you know, not through co-work. So it, for me, I just, it's win-win-win, like all around. Like, I think the city gets something out of it. All the co-workers do, and I get something out of it. So I'm a capitalist by nature. I'm not ashamed of that. Totally. But I'm kind of, you know, I like win-win-win scenarios. I'm interested in making money, but that is not the sole factor in any of my decisions. So that, I think, can work anywhere. You know, it just takes the right team. So.
Yep, I think you're right. It takes the right components to make the win-win-win for everybody. Yeah. It's helpful. I'm glad you shared that because we had only co-working operators on our webinar, and I've been talking to a couple of different developers to understand their perspective, and our theory was exactly what you just said.
Yeah, it is.
And it makes sense in smaller markets where there are fewer big companies.
And me personally, so like, I hope, you know, like I said, this is kind of a pilot, and we're going to work out all the processes as we move ahead. But if this works as good as I hope it does, then I would love to take it to our other, at least close markets like Rochester, Buffalo, and start there. And because I think, you know, if I know correctly, I'm not very unique, you know, so if I want this, I would think more people do. So I'm hoping that, you know, that it'll work like that and get expanded, and I'll do another one somewhere. So common space would be an actual thing, not just a one building.
Yep. I think you're onto something. That was my last question for you, actually, was what's cool. Your long-term vision? So I'm trying to think, is there anything else you want to share about your experience that we haven't gone through yet?
What do you think? No, that's kind of it. It's just, you know, it's a work in progress, like everything, right?
Yeah.
So it's every day it gets a little bit different.
So we'll have to we'll have to do a second interview once you're really rolling and you've got your community managers going and seeing what the interactions look like and lots of lessons learned, I'll bet.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be great. And yeah, when you come to Syracuse, you should definitely have to stop by. Check it out.
I will absolutely do that. So thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. And I will link to, for our listeners, link to the Common Space site and the link to the article about Common Space on Syracuse.com. So that those will be in the show notes for anybody who wants to learn more about Troy and his project.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.